are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is happening and welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast, your episode for Monday, March the 11th. And we're going to be joined today by old friend Ryan Field from the Large Apple. I think that's what they nickname New York City. But this is your boy Matt Shook, the host of the Locked On Pistons podcast, a sports writer here in the Motor City covering the NBA for the Associated Press and the Detroit News, a Pistons fan and follower my whole life, and a sports newspaper reporter for over a decade as well. Today I'm going to hand over the reins of part of the show to our fill-in host, David Binkowski. He's going to have the rundown from the weekend as the Pistons had a pair of games against the Bulls. Remember, last week I predicted the Pistons would split, win on Friday and lose on Sunday, and as I tape this on Friday afternoon, I have no idea how that went. So now you'll realize and find out how smart I am from that. But later on, I'm going to return back to the show for an interview that I taped on Friday with Ryan Field. Yes, that's right. You know Ryan Field, the former Fox Sports Detroit sideline guy, a local guy, a Michigan State graduate, and now out in New York on the number one rated TV station out there. So congratulations to Ryan for his success, and I'm excited to share that interview with you guys. Pistons playing the Brooklyn Nets tonight, Monday night. So we will obviously talk to Ryan about Brooklyn and how they're coming together with the season winding down for everyone here in the NBA. But give me a follow on Twitter, by the way, at Matt underscore Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore after that. Also the Locked On Pistons Twitter account. And check us out on Facebook at Locked On Pistons-Matt Shook. And now, since I'm out of town, I'm on vacation right now. I'm going to post this up for you guys Monday morning anyway, because that's just how good I am to you guys. But now here's David Binkowski talking about the weekend games against the Bulls.
Hi, everyone. I'm David Binkowski. I was born and raised in Metro Detroit. I'm a former starting center and alumni of Warren D. LaSalle. I'm a business administration grad from Wayne State University. I started coaching when I was 19. I'm the former varsity head coach at a Class D high school in New York, and I currently run my marketing agency and a basketball training business here in Puerto Rico, where I follow our Pistons via League Pass. The Pistons got the win over the Bulls on Sunday, 131-108, sending Detroit three games above 500 to 34-31, dropping the Bulls on a rare home-and-home series to 19-49. This win also sets up two huge matchups this week, tonight against Brooklyn in New York, and then on the road in Miami to face the Heat. All three teams are fighting to make the playoffs and jockeying for position, so it should be interesting, much like today's blowout win was for the first three quarters. Detroit now stands a half game up on Brooklyn in the standings, and Miami's clinging to that 8th seed as of this recording on Sunday night. So who else but Blake Griffin? Blake Griffin, 17 points in the third quarter alone, 27 overall for Detroit, 6 rebounds, 5 assists, in what was another dominating second half effort by the Pistons against these same Bulls. Blake's offensive efficiency has really been impressive to watch, because he's not getting the minutes restrictions that all the other stars are right now, and he's looking to pass first and set guys up and really preserve energy. And when they need him to play well, when they need a bucket, he's coming up big every single time. I think at one point he was 8-for-10 from the field today. Just unselfish play and smart basketball. Wayne Selden led the Bulls with 18 points. Lauri Markkanen and Otto Porter Jr. dropped 17 apiece, who were playing without Zach LaVine, who had a strained patellar tendon. But honestly, it wouldn't have mattered today. Detroit's hot shooting was the story of the game. Reggie Jackson, who did not go through pregame warm-up so he could have treatment on his hand, and Langston Galloway both netted 21 points. Galloway extended his consecutive made three-pointer streak to 12, so he made 6 today. And dating back 3 games now, he's got 12 in a row. That's just one shy of the team record, which is held by Terry Mills, who made 13 during the 1996-1997 season. But the hot shooting was way too much for Chicago to overcome. The confidence from Detroit right now is at an all-time high. The team shot overall 50% from three for the game. As a team, 50%. Unbelievable to watch. So much different than the first half of the season. They're playing with confidence. They're sharing the ball, and it's great to watch. The game started slow for Detroit. They basically let the 19-49 Bulls, who, you know, are in rebuilding mode, and playing without LaVine, come out and grab a lead. They're up 16-11 before Dwayne Casey took a timeout. Detroit was attacking the rim early, which was good. but their defense was not great. And I don't know if that's the effect of daylight savings time, the fact that the game started at noon, or the fact they're playing a bad team that they just beat, or a combination of all those things. But they had five early turnovers, and I was starting to get nervous. Are we going to see the old Pistons rear their ugly head and let us down? But fortunately, this team is learning how to win. They're learning how to step it up. And, you know, this is like the antithesis of the Detroit Lions, right? They're actually finishing games out and beating the teams they're supposed to beat. Early on in the game, Dre started off slow. Robin Lopez, you know, on consecutive possessions was out-rebounding him, scoring. And it was really for one simple reason. Dre was not boxing out. So, you know, that's an easy thing. If you're a center, that's the one job you have to do is keep the big guy off the glass, and he wasn't doing it early. Fortunately, he cleaned it up. And, you know, at one point, Dre was actually beating everyone down the floor and got a layup at one point and then was fouled on the next possession. So he turned up the effort, but it would have been nice to see as a pro bringing that for four quarters instead of three or three and a half. Wayne Ellington, you know, went 4 for 4 to start the game, and it was his shooting, Reggie Jackson shot well, and Blake that really kept Detroit in the game. Unfortunately, Ellington picked up his third foul in the second quarter with 8 minutes to play, so he had to come out, but Ish Smith was once again lights out. It's contract year, right? So he's a difference maker. He's pushing pace, and he was really schooling some of the younger Bulls players who really didn't know how to defend him or stay with him. It was great to watch. The Pistons took the lead in the second before Chicago came back with an Otto Porter Jr. one-on-3 spin move that ended in a fadeaway bank shot over John Luehr. You know, people rag on John Luehr or want to make fun. That guy did everything right on that possession. It was just a great shot. So Dwayne Casey took a timeout. Detroit was down 44-41. But the Pistons went on a run, a 10-0 run, and they traded threes before ending the half, 61-55. I have to say, before we move on to the third quarter, a shout out to John Luehr, because he hasn't played much, you know, over the course of the season, but even recently, not seen the floor for 5 games. He comes in, he provides some points, he gets some dunks, some boards, and he even took a charge in the second quarter, which, you know, games back and forth, you're on a 10-0 run. You know, a charge is a way to get your team into it, and he did that. So shout out to John Luehr. But the Pistons did allow Chicago to shoot 50% from the floor and 58.3% from three in the first half, which normally would spell trouble, right? But Detroit shot 62.5% from three and 59% from the field. And honestly, it reminds me of those games when you're playing in the backyard with your little brother or one of your friends who's not very good. Yeah, he might get some points on you, but you know you're better than him. And the Pistons played with that confidence today and overall what they're shooting. You know, that bucket must have felt like it was 10 feet wide. The Pistons held the edge on the glass at the half, 20-17, and had a 14-8 assist advantage because the Pistons did what they needed to do, move the ball, find the open man, make the extra pass, play unselfish basketball, and get that uncontested look. So it was beautiful to watch. This is the best basketball I've seen them play all year when they're playing well and not coming out sluggish and letting teams like the Bulls get leads on them. But, you know, if you watched this game, you knew it was over in the third quarter. There was a 26-11 run for Detroit once Chicago got within 8. But, you know, once that run happened, the game was over. And the fourth quarter was fairly meaningless. Langston Galloway did come back in with about 4 minutes to go in the fourth. And made another three, so that extended his consecutive streak to 12 makes in a row. If you want to understand how lopsided the second half was, Fox Sports Detroit actually went to break with a John Luehr montage to celebrate his 7 points, which is, you know, it's great to see, but that's not what you're expected to see in a Detroit game. But the Pistons have now won 13 of their last 16 games, and they're the hottest team in the NBA, which is really refreshing to say and almost surprising. But it's true, and you know, looking forward to them continuing the streak. This game was actually reminiscent of Friday night's game, at least for a little while, where Detroit fell behind at the half and were down as many as 20 points to the Bulls before storming back for a double-digit win in Chicago. The difference is, in that game, Detroit gave up 66 first-half points to these Bulls, and then they held the Chicago Bulls to 14 points in the third quarter, before pulling out a win, 112-104. And much like the Sunday game, Blake had 27 points in that matchup as well, which did feature Zach LaVine, who led the Bulls with 24. I'd like to thank Matt and the Locked On folks for letting me provide the recap. If you like what you hear, have any feedback, give me a follow on Twitter. I'm at @DBinkowski.
Thanks to David, I think, for the update. I'm sure he did a great job, so thanks again to him for filling in for me on this Monday. But up next, we're going to talk to Ryan Field of New York City's ABC7. We're going to talk about the Brooklyn Nets and how things are going with the Michigan State graduate, Ryan Field, out in the big city. But when you get in your car, go ahead and tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Pistons. That will get you the newest episode of your favorite daily podcast about the Detroit Pistons.
Yes, sir!
All right, and now we're being joined by an old friend of the Detroit area and still a friend of the Detroit area. Not to say he's no longer our friend here in Michigan, but Ryan Field out in New York, sportscaster. You can find him on Twitter at RyanFieldABC. Ryan, thanks for taking the time to join us.
Happy to be here, Matt.
Yeah, so you're with what's the channel that you're on with, the ABC affiliate, the Eyewitness News?
Yeah, ABC7 here in New York. Yeah, Eyewitness News, and going on 2.5 years now, man. It's crazy how fast the time has gone. But living here in the city, the days turn into weeks, turn into months real fast with the fast-paced New York lifestyle here, which took some getting used to. But it's been a hell of a ride so far, to say the least.
Sure, and glad to hear everything's going well for you. You're a Troy guy and also a Michigan State graduate as well, and we all remember your work from Fox Sports Detroit, most notably as well here in Michigan. But as you mentioned, now in New York, covering all the New York sports, and one of those being the Brooklyn Nets that are having a surprise season in the NBA right now, and a Michigan guy. I know he's not a Spartan like you, but Caris LeVert, who a lot of people follow closely around here, still had that gruesome injury a little bit way through the season and figured that maybe he'd be done for the year, but he did make the comeback and he's back on the court. How's he looking right now so far?
Yeah, I mean, it's been baby steps, no pun intended, after the foot injury. But you can see him, especially in the last couple games, kind of rounding back into form. And, you know, you look at the nature of that injury, a dislocated foot, which when the injury happened, you're thinking, man, he's out for at least this year. And who knows into next year? I mean, you immediately think of the Gordon Hayward injury, you know, just a nasty looking scene, if you will, on the court when he went down. But yeah, he came back perhaps even sooner than most thought. And, you know, now with him and D'Angelo Russell and Spencer Dinwiddie, they've kind of got a three-headed monster there in the backcourt. And all three of those guys can create their own shot. All three of those guys are a nightmare for opposing defenses, and they complement each other very well. And now that LeVert is kind of getting back into full strength and looking like the player who we saw at Michigan and who we saw kind of coming on here his first couple of years in the NBA, the Nets are suddenly that much more dangerous. It's certainly a team, given how they play, especially on the defensive end, a team that, you know, a lot of teams would not want to face in the first round of the playoffs.
And like you said, guard led and guard heavy with those threesome, and Spencer Dinwiddie, another guy the Pistons fans are familiar with, a draftee by the Pistons. But like you mentioned, D'Angelo Russell, the Ohio State Buckeye, he became an all-star this year for the first time and really has made big strides in this game. What is it in particular that's kind of taken his game to the next level this year?
I think if nothing else, it's just the confidence that he's playing with. I mean, everybody knew that he was a good player, and maybe not Magic Johnson, who perhaps would like to have a do-over on that trade, which ultimately led to the Lakers drafting Lonzo Ball. But the Nets were more than happy to take D'Angelo off the Lakers' hands. And I have some buddies who are Laker fans, and they kind of wish they could have a do-over in how that trade has played out. But he's just taken himself to the next step with his confidence, especially in late-game situations. I mean, he's a guy that they run a lot of ISO for late and creates his own shot, and he's become very clutch. Hit a lot of go-ahead shots late in the fourth, a couple of game winners along the way. You know, his three-point shot has really kind of helped take him to the next level. And, you know, you've seen a guy that's just kind of coming into his own here, maybe a little later than some people thought would happen, but it's finally happening now, and the Nets have been a great beneficiary because of it.
One of those moves that Magic Johnson would like to have back. I think there's a couple of those now at this point, as the Lakers are kind of looking at what they're dealing with. Yeah, Brook Lopez out in Milwaukee being another one of them, hitting those threes, and then some of the signings that they did make were a little bit unfortunate too, it seems like. But we're talking to Ryan Field about here about the Brooklyn Nets and the Pistons playing them tonight in a big game, teams neck and neck for the sixth seed right in that Eastern Conference standings. But while the Pistons have not so tough of a schedule, not as easy of a schedule as it looked as they've rolled through. They had the Bulls taken off the schedule this past weekend. We're taping this on Friday, by the way, so it's a little bit awkward. I don't know what happens with the Pistons-Bulls this weekend. But Ryan Field, the Nets, on the other hand, have like the toughest schedule remaining in basketball. Oklahoma City next, Utah, Clippers, Kings. I mean, these are not the games in order, but some of the ones that jump out: Philly, Boston, Milwaukee twice, Toronto, Indiana, and that's all in short order here. What do you think how the team's feeling and the fan base is feeling about the playoff chances right now at this point?
Yeah, I mean, I think they're feeling confident about it, especially going back to what we just talked about with the health that you've gotten. Spencer Dinwiddie, who missed 5 weeks with an injury, and now Caris LeVert back. I mean, those are the guys that they need. You go back to the beginning of the season when they were humming. All three of those guys were playing well. So now that they've got those three guys healthy and ready to go, you know, the schedule is certainly daunting on paper. But the thing about what Kenny Atkinson and to a greater degree GM Sean Marks has brought is just a complete change in culture there in Brooklyn. And, you know, their hashtag on Twitter is "We Go Hard." And these guys play hard every night. I mean, you'd be hard-pressed to find a game this season that they've been out of in middle of the fourth quarter. I mean, it seems like every game they play, they are right there in the end. And that's a credit to Kenny Atkinson. And like I said, to a greater degree, a credit to Sean Marks, who came over from San Antonio. And they've really brought this culture here in Brooklyn, which, you know, kind of gets overshadowed by the Knicks struggles, because the Knicks have been so historically bad that's what a lot of people talk about here in New York. That's the topic of talk radio. And Brooklyn, don't forget, is still kind of the new guy in town, you know, coming over from New Jersey several years back. So, you know, the more playoff success they have, if you will, the more they'll become a household name, and the more the fan base will continue to grow here in Manhattan. But, you know, certainly in the borough of Brooklyn, they've adopted the team, and, you know, the games are drawing huge crowds every night. So there's certainly some interest. But, you know, the more success they have will only kind of creep into in a bigger piece of the pie here in New York. But, going ahead of the schedule, I think they're going to be in the playoffs. I think they're going to battle the Pistons right down to the end for that sixth spot. You know, and if you're the Pistons, it's like, would you rather face, you hope Indiana gets the three seed, but if Philly slides into the three spot, maybe you're better off falling back to the seventh spot to face Toronto in the first round. I think they'd like their chances better in that series than they would against the Sixers, to say the least. So, you know, this is an exciting time of year, Matt. You get down to March Madness is getting started, and the NBA playoffs just around the corner. So for Hoops fans, this is what it's all about.
Ryan, I think I heard a siren in the background, so thanks for setting that up for us, that big city feel in New York. Hey, we really appreciate that.
That's every minute on the minute in this town, buddy. There are no dull moments, no matter what time of day you're walking down the street. So I'm here looking out at the atrium, from our atrium here on 67th in Columbus, here in the heart of Manhattan, right on the Upper West Side. So it is a busy area, to say the least.
Well, local boy makes good. So let's talk about that. So you, since leaving Fox Sports Detroit, you hit the national airwaves and then landed in, you know, one of the world's biggest cities, obviously media wise, probably the world's biggest city. So what's the update on your journey since leaving town? How about you fill it in for us there?
Yeah, I mean, it was a great honor to get promoted, if you will, through the Fox ranks to end up at Fox Sports One to help launch that network back in 2013, summer of. I launched in August of 2013, and I went out there in July. I mean, obviously, it was tough to leave everything I knew, so to speak, with family and friends and all the good relationships I'd made in town, both with the teams and with peers. You know, it was a difficult decision to make, but at the end of the day, it was the best choice for my career to go to a national platform. And unfortunately, you know, the ratings weren't what they hoped they would be, and they ended up canceling my show, Fox Sports Live. And as a result, they brought in some new changes in upper. They brought in some new upper management, which resulted in some changes in the overall programming at FS1. Anybody who watches that now knows it's primarily a talking heads network, from Undisputed, First Things First, Colin Cowherd, right on down the line. So they kind of changed the format there at FS1, and as a result, there just wasn't as much for me to do. And this opportunity, thankfully, came along in New York. It's the number one local TV station in the country. And, you know, they had an opening in the sports department. And, you know, thankfully, I was able to come in and take over the main gig here. And it's been great. The people that I work with are fantastic. And they've welcomed me with open arms. And, you know, getting to know the city and the teams and everything has been fantastic. And to do so here in the number one media market in the world, if you will, makes it all the more special.
Yeah, that sounds like a great journey for you. Congratulations on all your success there. But as we tape this, I know Ryan's getting ready to cheer on the Spartans tomorrow night against Michigan. And as you listen, you'll know the outcome of how that game went. But I know from following you, Ryan, on Twitter, and you're still following the Detroit teams, in particular the Pistons, very closely too. What's it like in New York City, and do you have like a friends around that you get together to watch some Lions games and stuff like that? Or what's
in a city like this, especially coming from LA as well, a very transient town, if you will, a lot of people that aren't from here that have since moved here. And every neighborhood, if you will, has a college bar for Michigan State, which also doubles as a Detroit bar. So I'll go there a lot, and you end up meeting people that live in Manhattan or the area neighborhoods that have come into town to kind of get together with some friendly faces and then cheer on their favorite teams. And that's the beauty of living in a city like this, is you get a chance to have all these encounters and different places. And, you know, it definitely makes cheering on the local teams that much more fun. And, you know, when you're in an environment like that, it feels like you're right back home in Detroit watching the game. So it definitely adds another element to it. And I'll definitely be doing that on Saturday to go watch the game. And we'll see what happens. I mean, I was surprised that Michigan State went in there and handled their business the way that they did in Ann Arbor. I thought it was going to be a case where the home teams won each game this season. So Michigan State surprised me last week, and we'll see if they can go ahead and finish the job on Saturday night.
Yeah, no matter what happens on Saturday, both teams have an exciting few weeks ahead.
No doubt.
The Big Ten tournament, the NCAA tournament as well. But Ryan, before I let you go, I got to get your thoughts on the Pistons. What do you think? I mean, the 97 won the ticket here. It's all negative. Why don't they rebuild and blow it up? And they're kind of somewhat ignoring the little bit of success that they're having lately. Whereas I know most of the listeners of this podcast are the diehards who are kind of with it, and it's with it to the very end. What do you think about where they're at right now? First off, in terms of maybe even possibly contending for a decent first round series outcome, and then looking ahead to the next couple of years too.
Well, I think the first mistake that people make is they look at the entire body of work from this season and say, well, look at where they were in January, and there's no way they're going to be able to make some noise in the playoffs. Well, you look at where this team was in December and January and where they are now, it's a night and day difference. And it's almost like the switch flipped on, and all of a sudden they just figured everything out all at once. And obviously Drummond's tenacity and bringing it every night, and he looks like a different player. That's obviously been a big part of it. Reggie Jackson coming back healthy and looking like his old self has been a big part of it. But I think one of the underrated things that has come about during this stretch is the health of Ish Smith. I mean, their biggest struggle during those 2 months was when the starters came off the floor, the bench was just getting shellacked. And Ish Smith has come in and provided that nice change of pace, where he's making things happen and makes everybody around him better. And obviously I'd be remiss if I didn't bring up Luke Kennard, who's going to have the unfortunate asterisk by his name the rest of his career as being the guy that was drafted before Donovan Mitchell. But Luke Kennard is a damn good player. Is he ever going to be Donovan Mitchell? Probably not. But, you know, when you're drafting 12th in the first round, you want to get a damn good player. And I think Luke Kennard, if he hasn't already shown that by now, will certainly get better and better as his career unfolds. So I think all of those things have kind of played a role. And to answer your question, do I think they can make some noise in the first round? Why not? I mean, they've already beaten Toronto twice, once with Kawhi Leonard, once without. You know, you got the whole Dwayne Casey aspect there, which obviously adds a little more fuel to it and his familiarity with that team. They've already beaten Indiana, and especially without Oladipo. So I think if they draw either one of those teams in the first round, I don't think it would be any sort of monumental upset if they won that series. So, you know, are they good enough to win a championship? No, probably not. But, you know, I hear all the stuff being talked about on 97.1, and those guys have a job to do, and their job is to stir the pot and get callers and rile people up. And they're damn good at that. And that's a kudos and a credit to them. And, you know, those guys, Mike Valenti and all those guys who I'm friends with, I mean, those guys are very good at their job. And, you know, their job is to, you know, create noise. And that's what I think a lot of this is. I mean, at this point, because once they made the trade for Blake Griffin, there was no going back. You could not go back and say, okay, well, now we want to tank and rebuild. I mean, once that trade was made, you know, all that discussion, in my opinion, is out the window, especially given the level that he's played for the most of this season. So, you know, you go into the playoffs, you get these guys some experience. They got a boatload of contracts. I think it was $44 million coming off the books after next season. And that kind of gives you a chance to reset on the fly. You know, I kind of like what I've seen from the front office already with the shrewd trades that they made, a couple of nice draft picks and Bruce Brown and Kyrie Thomas, given where they were picked in the second round. So this front office seems more than competent. So you have to trust them to add another piece or two, and then maybe this team takes the next step. But going backwards to go forward after this team has been stuck in the mud for the better part of 10 years really didn't make much sense to me. And I think the team is on the right path. And as a lifelong Pistons fan, I'm excited about the possibilities here going forward.
And Ryan Field, I couldn't have said it better myself, and that's why you're in New York City doing what you do. So congratulations. So, well, thanks for your time. Appreciate it. Have a great weekend. Hopefully enjoying a Spartans win. And we'll see how that goes down, and we'll be following the Pistons along with you on Twitter at RyanFieldABC. And thanks for your time, man.
Always a pleasure, Matt. Anytime.
That'll do it for the show. Like I said, another guest host tomorrow recapping the Brooklyn Nets game, and another guest and all good stuff here on the Locked On Pistons podcast. This is Matt Shook saying thanks for listening, everyone. We'll talk to you guys again tomorrow.